Good morning, everybody. Good morning, church. As I've said before, I've got a long ways to go and a short time to get there. So if you would, turn to James, the third chapter. I've got one verse that I'm going to start with this morning. And if you wouldn't care, when you get to the third chapter of James, we're going to read one verse, and that's the fifth verse. Very familiar verse. James 3, verse 5. Even so, tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with nothing but thanksgiving in my heart this morning. Lord, I want to praise you and give you the glory that you so rightly deserve, Lord. I ask you, Father, to continue to be with the service this morning. Go with us, Lord. Lead, guide, and direct. And Father, we will praise you for it all, and we ask it all in your name. And amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Before I put it out this morning, but before I forget, after services this morning, we will be having a baptism at Rollins Lake. So feel free to get there. We'll start whenever people get there. So that'll be right after services. We're heading that way today. All right. Well, I get started here. Did you know that the average person, this is the average person, speaks enough words in 1 year to write 200 books? Did you know that? Or 132 books with 200 pages in it. The average person. Now, I know there are people that speak more, and I know there's people that speak less, but the average person. And did you also know, do you ever notice how the doctor asked you to stick out your tongue? You know, you think maybe that's to look at your tonsils. Well, that's part of it. I didn't know this till I got to studying this week. But a doctor can look at your tongue and tell if you have an infection, if you have nutritional deficiencies, if you have digestive issues, how your stress level is, and if you have mental health issues. Did you know that? I didn't know that. I just thought he told you to stick out your tongue to look at your tonsils. That was just me. And that's just from looking at your tongue. Now, the Bible tells us that you can tell a great deal about a person's spiritual health by their tongue as well. Yeah, did you know that? It does. David prayed for the Lord to watch the doors of his lips. David prayed it. Hey, that would be good for all of us, right? To watch the doors of our lips. The writer of Proverbs declared that a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. That's good for all of us to know as well. And Jesus warned us this. Judgment regarding the use of our tongue in the wrong way. Hey, Jesus warned us. And the Bible tells us the tongue can be used for praising God and uplifting God. Do you know the Bible says whenever they come into the church, you know, you're supposed to raise your hands and praise God. Now, I didn't see anybody do that. This morning, I didn't do it. But that's one of those things that we just don't even think about. But in James 3, 10 and 11, it says this. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings, my brethren. These things ought not to be so. Doeth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Our spiritual health is shown by what comes out of our mouth sometimes. I hope we understand that here this morning. Our speech reveals a lot about what kind of a person we are. James talks a lot about the tongue. If you go through the book of James, James talks an awful lot about, especially in the chapter I just read right there. But and as we look at the scripture this morning, the text this morning, let me ask everyone some questions in here. And you don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to answer back to me. But I want you to think about these as I ask you these questions. Would you deliberately start a fire to cause harm or damage to anybody else's property or to them? Would you? I don't think there's any pyromaniacs in here this morning. But I don't think anybody would deliberately do that. I've seen the destructive power of fire firsthand. And I've told you this story maybe before, but back whenever I was a young man, we went to a cousin's house of ours, and they were having a cookout there. Well, he had a grill that was setting in the yard, and he decided that the grill was not going fast enough or burning fast enough. So Greg, he took a little bit of gasoline in a can and threw it towards the fire, guess what happened? It followed him back, caught his shirt on fire. He was in the hospital for over a month with severe burns. I've seen that. I've seen that firsthand. And also, all of us seen what happened this past January out in Palisade, California, where a little spark out there caused over 22,000 acres to be burned, caused over 12 people to lose their lives, and caused over 6,662 buildings to be destroyed. And that's just because, and they're looking at it now, but they believe it was just because someone was setting off a firework out there, a little firework that caught on fire, and with the winds blowing in the 80 miles an hour, it just, that's what fire can do in just a little bit of time. That's what it can do. And a little spark, that's the destruction that can be caused by just a little spark in a fire. Now, our scripture reading this morning in the Bible, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is that fire. That's what it says here in James 3. And just like the fires in California, just like those fires, when the tongue sets things on fire, it can get out of control in a heartbeat. Now, I hope I'm preaching to the choir this morning, but I believe if you're like me, brothers and sisters, there have been times in my life I've kindled a little fire sometimes. Amen? Am I the only one? But I can tell you that, and it can cause a bunch of destruction. It can do that. And all you have to do is have a little spark, a little kindling, to get a fire going. A lot of times individuals will say something like that little spark gets picked up by someone else and it just keeps going and going and going. I heard someone say this one time. I don't have a problem with keeping a secret. It's the people I tell that can't keep their mouth shut. Amen? Just remember, you may start the fire not meaning it to get out of hand, but just like the person you tell, it keeps spreading and spreading. And before you know it, that little spark that you started with your tongue is out of control. It's done. And that fire can carry, and it can cause irreparable harm to everybody that you started it on. Now, let me ask you another question this morning in here. How many of you would deliberately poison someone or somebody else? I don't think anybody in here would deliberately do that. Poison, you wouldn't deliberately poison no one, right? Think about the same. James 8 says the tongue is full of what? Deadly poison. Now just think about that. The tongue can spew out that deadly poison out before we even think what we're saying. Did you know that over in Africa there's a thing called the spitting cobra? And the spitting cobra can spit its poison 10 feet with 90% accuracy. Did you know that? Now think about that a minute. You could think you're standing far enough away from it, but that thing could spit at you and get that poison in your eyes. Now, you wouldn't let anybody, if you knew it, get around anything like that. But James tells us the tongue can be just as deadly and more so on its intended victim. The tongue can be that way. And yet so many folks join right in with spreading any type of poison. It's just as harmful in its own way as that spitting cobra is. Because you know why? We like to talk. We like to spread the rumors. Psalms 143 says this: they have sharpened their tongue like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. That's what it says. Now think about that. Now think about it. You wouldn't deliberately set a fire to nobody's. You wouldn't deliberately poison somebody, but yet so many times we don't have an issue about doing this. Amen? Another question. Would you deliberately go around trying to cut somebody with a razor or with a sword? I don't think so. I mean, I look around here and I see a bunch of good people. I don't think you would. Psalm 64:3 says, They sharpen their tongues like a sword, right? That's what I just read to you. We can dismiss what we're saying it to someone as just telling it like it is. Have you ever heard that? Man, I'm just telling the truth. I'm just telling you just like it is. That brother, that sister, I'm just telling you just like it is. Not realizing, brother, what we're using our tongue for is no different than where you're taking and cutting somebody with a razor or cutting them with a sword. And yet we so casually, and we make excuses and say, well, I'm just telling it like it is. Have you ever heard someone say that they're cutting someone down or spreading gossip? Yes. Someone once calculated. Now think about this. You know Hitler. I mean, my goodness, it's used for everybody nowadays. Have you ever heard of the book Mein Kampf that he wrote, which means his struggles? By the way, that's what it's translated out to be. They once said that for 125 lives were lost for every word that he wrote in that book. Think of the amount of people that died in World War II. That's what they say. Words matter. Words have an effect. We can't even begin to calculate the damage that we cause on an uncontrolled tongue. You may ask, Lord, what's he preaching about that before? You asked the Lord about that because that's not what my intended sermon was about. He changed that. And I'm telling you, there's somebody here, if it's just me, that needs to hear this. An uncontrolled tongue can do a lot of damage. Words matter. Like a sword or a razor can cut wounds, even kill individuals at times. Listen, how many people, you've heard it said here this morning, you know, people come to church and sometimes they hear this and they hear argument. I heard Larry say one time he came to church when he first started coming here. And he heard things, he heard some people talking, discussing stuff back and forth. You know, whenever you get things out of control, the Word of God, and our tongues can cause and damage that sometimes cannot be overcome. A careless tongue can cause emotional pain. It can cause damage to relationships, and it can cause devastating consequences on people's lives. It can do that. Now, let me ask you another question. How many of you in here would shoot somebody with a bow and arrow? Deliberately shoot them? I don't think so. I don't think so. Now notice, the last few things in the Bible that I've talked to you about the tongue is like it compares it to a weapon. Right? Well, Jeremiah 9:8, their tongue is as an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peacefully to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he layeth in wait. Oh my goodness. I have talked to a lot of people. That whenever you talk to them in one environment, like the church, Luke, they were just these fine, upstanding people. You get somewhere else or you talk to somebody else and they were talking to them about you, they were tearing you down and ripping you apart. You see what the Bible's trying to say? Our tongues are like razors, they're like swords, they're like an arrow to be shot out. Tink and myself both had to take a course. It's just like we had to take a course one time in West Virginia in 2016. In 2016, up until that point, if you had a concealed permit, you had to go take a gun safety course. Has anybody in here ever taken it? You can show me. I think most of us in here have taken it. Well, me and her had to go take it. And they required us at the end of it to make sure that we could fire our guns because they wanted to make sure that we could handle our guns. Right? Man, I wish that we could have a course about the tongue. And I wish that we could give out permits about the tongue. Because you know what? Praise God, sometimes we don't know how to handle that thing. We know how to rip and tear apart. And wouldn't you like to go up to some people sometimes and tell them, you know what? Have you had the tongue safety course yet? Seriously. Because it's full of deadly poison. It's deadly weapon. The Bible said it's like a sword. It's like a razor. It's like an arrow. These things you can do great damage or kill people with. Proverbs 18:8. A I got a lot of scripture, and I want you, I should have told you to write it down at the beginning. The words of a talebearer, you know what a talebearer is? That's a gossip, are as wounds. And they go down into the innermost part of the belly. Now, if somebody gets gut shot, that's pretty deadly. That's pretty deadly back in the day. That's what he's trying to say. He's saying, you know, a talebearer wounds, the gossip goes right down there. Don't you wish, sometimes people will start using their tongue in the wrong way. You could ask them, what are you doing? God gives us two ears. Now, I know you've heard this part up before. And there's always, and they're always open. There's no flaps on them, Morgan, to close them. There's none. But guess what? He gives you one tongue, and there's your teeth and your lips to guard against you using that tongue. Amen? That's what he does. And sometimes, can I get an amen for this? We need to bite our tongues off sometimes before we use it. Listen, there's no gate to guard your ears, but there are two gates to guard your lip, your tongue. And you've heard this before. He gives you two ears and one mouth. He must want you to listen twice as much as you talk. I know you've heard that one before. James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. Oh, that I could learn that lesson. How about you this morning? Would you go around, let me ask you another question. Would you go around biting someone? Would you deliberately go around biting someone? I mean, we tell our kids not to bite. I don't know about you. I'm very cautious around things that bite. Dogs, cats, snakes, mosquitoes, and especially horseflies. I'm cautious around things that bite. We were at a place some time back. They had a cat. And the cat would come up to you and rub around your legs. And the owner said, don't pet that cat. I said, why? He said, because sometimes when you're down there petting him, he'll just reach right around and bite you. He'd rub on your leg and do everything else. But you got to be cautious around things that bite. You got to. James 3:8 said, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil. Mark the word unruly in your Bibles. It means something that is restless and impossible to predict. Just like that cat. Just like that cat. You couldn't predict what that cat would do. James is saying the tongue is like an animal or snake that seems docile, but in reality, it's just waiting for its next victim. And sometimes people that like to talk and run their mouth, all they're doing is when they're not on you, they're waiting for somebody else that they can talk about. They're waiting. These are some tongue waggers just waiting for their next victim. Listen, in Galatians 5:15, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Paul's talking to the church here in Galatia. That's who he was talking to. Church folks, here, cautious things and bite. Be careful around things that bite. Donna, especially about things in church. The ones that will call you up and say, how's your day going? And then before you know it, they're talking about somebody else in the church. Why ain't this and doing this? Why ain't that way? Listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen, you know, be cautious of things that bite. There's an old saying, I don't mind getting swallowed by a whale, but I don't like being nibbled on by minnows. Amen? The tongue is a little member. It's located in the skull. We know where the tongue's located at. But it has a direct pipeline to the heart. How do you know that? Because Jesus said it in Luke 6. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasures of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, what happens, Alita? The mouth speaketh. That little member in there has a direct pipeline to your heart. How you talk, and I'm talking about how you act at home. You could fool me here at church, but I guarantee you, you're not going to fool your spouse. You're not going to fool those kids. You're not going to fool the people you're around, because they know exactly where your heart's at then. I wrote this down. Sometimes silence is golden. Will you agree with me on that? Sometimes it is. The only thing that can do that is what? That's the Holy Spirit is the only thing that can do that. Why? Because the tongue can no man tame. That's what James said. You can't tame it on your own. John 16:13 says this. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. The Holy Spirit dwelling within you is going to speak about the things of the Spirit of God. It will do that. If you have noticed when Job's, I like this, if you noticed whenever Job's friends showed up to help him, you know when the best part of that show up was? The first 7 days. Why is that? Because they sat there in silence. Amen? Sometimes it'd be better off if you didn't say a word than to offer up your platitudes and all the... Sometimes you're better off just to sit there in silence. King Solomon offered this advice. He said this, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give sacrifice of fools. That's what he said. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. I need that lesson. How about you this morning? I need it. There are times when the tongue just needs to be silent. It just needs to be. I heard a preacher once say, don't ever pass up the good opportunity to shut up. The Bible backs that up. Where's that at? Ecclesiastic 5:3. A fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. The thing we should always ask ourselves each time we start to give our opinion is this. Are your words going to encourage, edify, and build up? Or are your words going to undermine and demoralize someone? That's a good question for everybody to ask yourself here this morning. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of what? Edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Isn't that awesome? Sometimes silence is golden. You don't always have to have an answer. I remember a preacher telling this story. I heard a preacher tell this story. He was talking about it in a sermon, and I remember because I wrote it down. I wanted to remember it. One Sunday night, after Sunday night services, he went home and had to pack his suitcase because they were going to preach a revival. He was going to preach a revival the next week. He said the phone rang, and on the caller ID, he seen this man's number, and he said he knew it was not going to be good because this man never calls him for anything. He said he wasn't these type of guys to complain or anything. He said he knew it wasn't going to be good. He picked it up, and he said, preacher, can you come over to our house this evening? And he asked him, what's going on? He said, my wife committed suicide this afternoon. They had been to church that Sunday morning, got out of church and went home, and somehow during the afternoon, she committed suicide. He said, on my way over there, he said, Lord, what am I going to say? What can I say? And the Lord spoke to him like I'm spoken to you here today. Silence is golden. He said he went into that house. It breaks my heart to talk about. He said he went into that house and he sat down with that man and that family. And he said he sat there for hours, hardly said anything. He said, but he prayed And he said every time he needed anything, he talked to him. Folks, sometimes silence is golden. You don't have an answer for everything. We don't have an answer for everything. Listen, I'm telling you right now, don't think that you have to have an answer for everything, because you ain't going to have an answer for everything. Romans 12:5 gives a simple advice. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. We all need to remember that sometimes. That's what we need to do. Sometimes it's our desire to look spiritual and to have all kinds of answers about everything. Folks, sometimes there's no answer for it. No answer. Sometimes the key is, you know what? Because we can't handle everything. That's up to God and the Holy Spirit sometimes to handle things. Jesus told his disciples this one time. Listen to what he told them. In John 16:12, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. There are times people cannot bear things right now. And sometimes the answer may not be there. But you know what? That tells me something. God's wanting to show you something, or me something, but at the time and at the place, we're not able to handle it. So sometimes it's better just to be quiet. He wants us to understand it. He'll show it to us. Sometimes we need to be like Job's friends and just be quiet. Just sit there. Sit there. They got in trouble when they started talking. The Bible tells us to be slow to speak. Listen, can I tell you something? Sometimes our tongue needs a silencer on it. It needs a speed bump on it. Amen? It does. Sometimes we need to be silenced. We need a silencer on our tongue sometimes. Because you know what? Let me pray about it. Somebody asked you a question. Instead of giving an answer right then, you don't know, and you just want to think like, show that maybe that you're something. Sometimes it's better just to say, Lord, I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to pray. I'll get your answer to you if the Lord shows me. Now, the Holy Spirit can put a silencer on. He can put a speed bump on your tongue. And one more thing, he could put a sanctifier on it. Amen? The Holy Spirit is like a filter that can take the nasties out of our speech. Can take the gossip out of our speech. That's what he can do. Now, he doesn't want us to completely stop talking, because Psalms 107:2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. How many of you have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy here this morning? If you're born again, you've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And praise God, we can talk the church down about what he's done for each and every one of us. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The Holy Spirit can not only clean up what's bad, but he'll put things in there, the good to help to come out. Sanctify our words are supposed to edify and to build people up. That's a good test for all of us, is it not? You know, that little speed bump in there, you know, before we stick that thing out and start running it, maybe think, am I going to edify somebody? Is this going to help somebody? Or am I just going to tear them down? Proverbs 12:18. There is that to speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Now I want you to understand that. The tongue of the wise is health. Write that down, mark that in there. That's pretty good scripture right there. When some folks talk open, only negativity comes out. If you're around that all the time, two things are going to happen. It's going to wear on you, or it's going to wear off on you. If you're around negativity all the time, that's the two things that's going to happen. The old saying, and I say this quite often, if you run with a pack of wolves long enough, you're going to start howling like them eventually. If you're around negativity a lot, what's going to happen is, if you're not careful, you're going to start talking that same way. You're going to start talking that way. The tongue is going to automatically come out. The old saying is, if you turn to 1 Peter, I want you to look at this scripture. 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. When you get there, say amen. First Peter, the third chapter, verses 8 through 10. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing. You know what railing for railing means? Insult for insult. That's what it means. But counterwise, blessings, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life, now I told you it meant health. Now, for he that will love life and see good days. Now, look at this. I want you to understand this. And see good days. Let him refrain, what? His tongue from evil. And his lips that they speak no guile. Do you understand what he's saying there? He's talking about our health. Let me give you my humble opinion right here. I believe the biggest hindrance in a marriage is the way a husband and a wife talk to each other. I believe it is. In Proverbs, you know, Proverbs chapter 31, when talking about wives, she opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. What's it say about the husband? The husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And if you're constantly putting one another down as a husband and wife or bickering amongst yourself, my Bible tells me your prayers aren't going to be answered, number one. It says that. But also, do you not understand that, you know what? That's almost like poison. That's almost like a sword. That's almost like a razor. We are to speak good and well to each other. Are we always going to get along? No. Me and Tink don't always agree. But I can tell you this, when I lay down at night, I kiss her goodnight. And I tell her I love her. Do you understand? The biggest hindrance in a marriage is because people constantly want to tear each other down. Try once in a while to lift one another up. The biggest hindrance in a family is the way we talk to our children. Do you call them stupid? Do you say things like, well, that's kind of dumb? Do you say things like that to them? You keep telling that for so long, they believe that. Colossians 3:21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. The biggest hindrances in the church, and I'm going to lay it down on the line right now, is the way we talk to one another. Proverbs 26:20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearers, the strife ceases. You know what? You may have a disagreement with me. Come to me and talk to me like a man or a woman should. Don't go to everybody else in the church. But for where there's no wood, the fire goes out. You see what I'm saying today? Listen, we can wound, we can hurt, we can take, and the Spirit of God will move in the church. We can do all these things. I believe the scripture I read bears this out. Don't go around saying things that tear down. Sometimes a speed bump is necessary. Sometimes a silencer is necessary. And a sanctifier is needed all the time on these mouths, on these lips. Let me leave you with this scripture as they get a song ready. I don't know if Teresa's coming up, or I don't know if they're going to get a... You want to come up, Teresa, or you got a song? Let me leave you with this scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5, 8 through 11. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for a helmet and the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Now listen to this. Wherefore, comfort yourself together, edifying one another, even also as ye do. The Bible consistently tells us, brothers, we are of the same family. I guarantee you, and I know I use Greg and Michelle a lot, but they're right here, that's why, they're on the front row. But they don't go around tearing their children down, they try to lift them up and edify them, I know. And I know we try to do the same. And everybody in here has got, I know you try to do the same. So why do we do it as a church? We're a family. We're all one under the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to edify. Lift up. Lift up. All right, if we have a song this morning, let's go ahead and sing it. If you would, let's stand, please.